You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
First of all, kia ora, and thank you for taking the time to speak to us today. Before we start, would you mind giving me your name and title so I know how to address you?
So I'm Professor Richard Jackson from Te A'o o Rongomaraeroa, the National Centre for Peace and Conflict Studies at the University of Otago.
So obviously today we will be talking about the ongoing conflict in the Middle East. Just in the last 48 hours, US President Donald Trump had recently regressed on hitting more Iranian fuel depots due to apparent diplomatic successes. Are these grounds for optimism, and what hopes do you have for an end to the conflict?
I think we have to be very cautious about an end to the conflict at this stage, because the major players in this all have strong kind of interests in continuing the conflict. And they've also backed themselves into a corner, particularly in terms of the rhetoric that they expressed about why they were conducting this war. So I think, for example, without any major concessions or without any major achievements that the Trump administration kind of said were the reasons for going to war, it would be hard for them to stop now. And at the same time, Israel has very strong interests, particularly the Netanyahu government, in continuing the conflict. Netanyahu is facing a lot of domestic issues back home. The war provides a very useful distraction from those and allows him to continue in power as a war president without having to face those domestic issues. So I think the odds of trying to resolve this are tricky. On the Iranian side, the fact that their leader was killed, they were attacked while they were negotiating, civilians were killed in the school bombing, and they're facing a lot of destruction, means that they have very few interests in surrendering or giving up. They want to assert their sovereignty and assert their power. So their interest is continuing to hurt the global economy in response to this attack. So I think all three sides have very strong incentives to continue this conflict, unfortunately.
I guess the US-Israeli goals within this conflict the strategic goals seem to be changing week for week. At first, the elimination of the Ayatollah was the main goal, and I guess they were suspecting that regime change would take place by itself afterwards. Then, on the other hand, potential nuclear weapons were also used as an explanation. Do you believe that regime change is the ultimate goal that will appease the US-Israeli attacks?
So I think we have to be careful here in differentiating between the Israeli goals and the Trump administration goals. There's some evidence that Trump was kind of talked into this war by Israel, and Israel's goals are a lot different to the US, I think. Israel's goals involve making sure that there are no countries in the region that have the capacity to pose a threat to what Israel wants to do. So for them, what happened to Iraq would be ideally what happens to Iran and to Syria as well. So, I mean, they are hoping not necessarily for a regime change, but for a regime collapse, for, infighting to occur, for civil war, for instability, for anything that will make the regime really unstable and have to focus on internal issues and become weaker so that it can't pose any kind of threat to Israel or to the US interest. The United States, on the other hand, I don't think they really have a clear idea of what their goals were. I think they were talked into this. They were probably convinced that because of the previous uprisings, non-violent uprisings by Iranians protesting about various issues in the past, that the regime was ready to collapse. But anyone who knows anything about the Middle East knows that that was simply not the case. The Iranian regime is very robust and powerful. It has a very strong organization, and it's not going to collapse simply because other countries bomb it. And to be honest, there's no examples from history either, despite hundreds of cases where external powers have bombed a country and then that has led to a regime change. So no serious analyst thinks that that is the real goal there. And on the question of nuclear weapons, I mean, there's no evidence whatsoever that Iran was getting close. I think they were in the middle of negotiating a deal when they were attacked. That deal would have probably taken them back to the deal they had previously, where they didn't have sanctions put on them, but they allowed inspectors to make sure that they didn't enrich their uranium beyond a certain low-level point. It's not in their interests, I don't think, to provoke this kind of attack by rapidly developing nuclear weapons. However, I think because of this attack, they may now feel that having nuclear weapons might have protected them. So that may be an incentive to them in the future to develop nuclear weapons. So again, the aims of this conflict have not been thought through, and they are not very, very clear at all.
Obviously, the situations in Iraq and Syria, I guess forms of ongoing civil wars, conflicts that lasted up to 10 years or even longer. And regarding the being talked into it, Israel had planned the strikes on Iran and then essentially contacted the US saying, you're either with us or not. They kind of had to join in an already planned attack. And then obviously the nuclear weapon, the potential development as a nuclear weapon, as a deterrent that these strikes would not occur in the future if Iran did actually possess a nuclear weapon. And so regardless of how long the war continues, how do you think the scale of violence and destruction that we've seen so far will affect the Middle East in the long term?
I think it will have a long-lasting effect. It is just such a tragedy for the Middle East. The Middle East continues to be the most intervened region in the world, with outside powers pouring weapons in, but also engaging in a series of wars, each of which has led to complete disaster. I mean, to me, it's, a kind of perfect example of that saying, which is that insanity is continuing to do the same thing over and over again, but expecting a different result. I mean, Western powers have intervened not just in Iran, but in Iraq and Syria and elsewhere across the Middle East, decade after decade, and it has always just increased the misery. It's always just increased the destruction. These wars are going to displace a lot of people. They're going to put back economic development. They're going to harm international trade. They're going to lead to greater insecurity. More weapons will pour into the area. And all of these things will make it much, much worse. And it won't bring security. It won't bring security for Israel. It won't bring security for all the U.S. military bases over there. It won't bring security for energy supply routes. This is an unmitigated disaster. And we really have to ask, who's making these decisions and why are they making such bad decisions? And is there anything that the rest of the world can do? And it surprises me that the New Zealand government is sort of just quietly going along with all this when the outcomes are clearly not going to be in New Zealand's interest and not in the interests of a secure and stable and peaceful international system.
Not only New Zealand, but obviously a lot of other traditional allies to the US and also Israel, such as the UK or members of the European Union. Everyone has universally criticized the Iranian responses to the US and Israeli strikes, but very few have openly criticized the strikes themselves, the so-called preemptive strikes. Do you think that the international community should have acted stronger in condemning the actions of the US-Israeli coalition?
Absolutely. I think, the whole world should have united and condemned both the United States and Israel for this, for putting the global economy at risk and for destabilizing everything. And they should do so now. I mean, the quickest and simplest way to resolve all this is for the United States and Israel to stop their attack. They have hammered Iran. I don't think it's, going to have the kind of offensive capability that it used to have anymore. And why would it want to do that anymore? I think it just wants an end to this conflict. Every time Iran has attacked, energy supplies or military bases or anything in the middle in that region. It's done so in direct response to attacks by Israel and the United States. So if Israel and the United States stopped right now, then we could probably resolve this. And I think that's where the pressure has to go. I mean, it seems ridiculous to me to be blaming Iran. Iran was in the middle of good faith negotiations when they got attacked. We should just stop this attack and go back to those negotiations, which Iran was taking seriously. And to blame them for defending themselves to the best way that they can seems completely misplaced to me. But I think the problem is that everyone's afraid of Donald Trump and the United States. He's so unpredictable and in many ways quite irrational in the things that he does. And I think no one wants to provoke him or you know, to have him invade Greenland or some other crazy thing like that. So they're still playing carefully with him. They're still moderating what their criticism. And I think that's a mistake, because I think a united front against him would actually perhaps cause him to change course and rethink his strategy, particularly in this issue.
Yeah, sadly, that's all the time we have. But thank you so much for speaking to us.
My pleasure.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.